The tradition has called the parable that we're going to tackle today and hear then the parable of the prodigal son. But the problem with that is, as with all things, we're only looking at one little part of the parable when we think that that's all Jesus was trying to say, something about the younger son who was welcomed back. There's a little bit more here. Let's put it into context before we read this scripture. Why is Jesus telling this parable? Well, the three parables together in a row here in Luke are this. There's a lost sheep parable, a lost coin parable, and then we could call this the lost son parable, right? Three parables about things that are lost. And they were given by Jesus in response to the Pharisees who were complaining. And I really love the Greek word for complaining. They were complaining because Jesus was associating and eating with tax collectors and sinners. And so they complained, and Jesus told these three parables. I don't know, you know, what was in their minds, but it's important for us to remember that. Jesus wanted to give these complainers a glimpse of the kingdom. And so he told the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and this parable that we are going to read today, Luke 15, 11 to 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a certain man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided the property between them, between the two sons. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs." Remember, the son is a Jew, right? So he went to feed pigs. "He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. And he replied, 'Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' And then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But then this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him. And then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The word of God for the people of God. Okay, one of the very first things that I noticed about this parable, and then went and got the Greek Bible out, this time, for the very first time that I read it, is the very same Greek word that was used to describe the Pharisees complaining was used to describe what the older son was doing outside, complaining about his brother. That's a parallel that I could not overlook, and it drove my planning and writing for this sermon, because I was stunned to see that the older son maybe... You know, we've talked about this when a storyteller is telling a story, how we like to place ourselves in the story, figure out which character we're going to be in the story. So, I mean, we all know, you know, it's only logical that the Pharisees, when they heard Jesus tell this story, they immediately thought that their place in the story was that of the older son. How does that change the way that they interpreted it? And then I was just generally thinking about complaining, and I began thinking about us. We're religious leaders, right? That's what the Pharisees were, right? They're all religious leaders, and all of you are religious leaders. Have you ever complained? Let's say, for instance, about someone who was at church who wasn't exactly like you, or maybe they didn't have the right background. Maybe you complained because of the way that they dressed or something. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I am a religious leader, because I have done that in my mind, if not with my words. I don't want to judge anyone. I don't want to be that person. And so I realized that there was a word in this parable for me, and maybe there is for you too. The point is, if we are like that, then we missed what Jesus was saying in this parable at the second level. Okay? There's a dilemma that Jesus created for the hearers of this parable, especially for these Pharisees who were complaining, because he was hanging out with sinners and these wrong kind of people. The kingdom of God in the world that is created by these parables is about equality and cooperation. Okay? It is not about competition, but that's what the Pharisees are doing. I mean, their job in the ancient world is to decide what's righteous and what's not righteous, and to stand around and complain to try to pull people in line. And that is exactly what this parable does, and why calling it the parable of the prodigal son makes it hard to see all that Jesus is trying to say. I mean, the tradition is right. This is a beautiful story about how much God loves us. But as we've seen with other parables, there's more here. The dilemma in this story to me begins when the father walks outside to try to get his older son to come in and join the party. That is what I want to focus on today. It begins when the father says, come and celebrate with your younger brother who was lost and is now found, who's back home safe and sound. And the younger son, just to summarize everything that he has done wrong in his life, if we could for a minute, that Jesus pointed out. He has behaved very badly, this younger son, in an outrageous way, let's say. He asked his father to drop dead and give me my money now. He did that. He loses all of that money. He breaks the laws of his religion. I mean, he's not supposed to touch a pig. He's not supposed to eat a pig. He's not supposed to have anything to do with a pig. But he then did that, so he's broken faith with his family and with his, you know, Jewish tradition. He comes home. You know what the best robe in the house would be that the father asked them to put on him? That's dad's robe. And bring me the ring. Whose ring is that? That is dad's ring. Okay? So he's got on dad's robe, dad's ring. He's inside celebrating with the rest of the family. And let me tell you what he's thinking. I got away with it. That younger son is sitting there celebrating. He's thinking, I got away with it. I am back home. He may even be thinking he is the favored son in the family now. And dad goes outside. Dad is outside telling the younger son, everything that is mine is yours. He addressed him as my dear child. Dad's basically saying to the older son, I love you. He did not say to the older son, shut up, go inside and sit down and celebrate your brother. Instead, he said, I love you to the older son. You've always been with me. He's telling him, you're in. You're the older son. You've got everything. Now, I'm thinking the younger son who's inside thinking that he got away with it would be very interested in that conversation that is going on between the father and the older son. Because I'm really thinking he thinks he is going to get everything else. But instead, the father favors not the older son or the younger son. The father favors neither son. And I think that is a point that God had for me this week when I was studying. Jesus is trying to explain what the kingdom of God is really like. And in the ancient world, fathers would never tell their sons that they loved them. Fathers didn't even hardly associate or talk to their sons in the ancient world. They would never tell their sons that they love them. And here is a dad who is saying that to both of the sons. In the ancient world, all sons wanted to be the firstborn, and they wanted to be favored. And here is a story Jesus is telling where neither son is really favored. Both seem to be being treated equally. The brothers have this rivalry going on between them for the inheritance, and Jesus is saying there's more than enough for both of you. Stop competing and start building community together. We know from our studies of the parable that's what Jesus seems to be saying in all of them, isn't it? The kingdom of God is not based on competition. It is not based on rivalry. It's based on cooperation. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to drive home to those Pharisees who are asking and complaining because he is associating with sinners and tax collectors. One of the things I've always wondered about is what happens next in this story. Does the older son who's standing outside, who actually has all the property and he's been affirmed by his father, does he come to his senses and go on into the party? Will the younger son react badly again when he realizes that the father loves both sons? What happens when dad dies in this story? You and I are left to decide how we will respond to the kingdom. That's the way these parables work. They leave us with the questions at the end, and we have to decide how we will respond. Will we be like the Father? Will we break down barriers in the communities where we live, in the families that we live in? Will we share? Will we share God's love with all? Will we spread God's love throughout the world? Will we stop competing and start cooperating? Amen? Amen. We have our invitation hymn. It's holy.